Now, if you have your Bibles, please turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And while you are turning to that passage, because of the various activities through the week, and it has become our practice that while the Holiday Bible Club has been going on, I usually give an address to the children. But I trust all of us would benefit from it. And this portion in Ephesians 6 verses 10 onwards speaks about the whole armor of God and how the Christian is to put on the armor of God. This is a theme that runs through John Bunyan's famous book, The Pilgrim's Progress. Now let us read the Word of God in Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Amen. We'll end the reading there and trust that the Lord would bless us, His Word. Now, this evening I want to bring to you a sketch, a very general overview of the life of John Bunyan. I wonder if all of the young people here have heard of John Bunyan. I trust they have. And they may have even read or have read to them The Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan is one of the most well-known Puritans and authors in the English language. His main influence in history is due to the one book for which he is known by millions, The Pilgrim's Progress. Children and adults in succeeding generations who have read that fascinating allegory, like a picture book full of picture language that he uses, of the Christian life, they have come to appreciate and cherish it. Well, if you haven't read it, then you would do well to do so. Spurgeon recommended it strongly. He said that he read it roughly around 3 times every year. And so that in itself shows the value of it. I find it to be that every time I have read it, something new comes out, something fresh comes out. We can't say it is like the Bible, but there's so much of the Bible in it that it resembles much of the truths, and it oozes out with Scripture. Before we think about John Bunyan, it is important for us to have a brief understanding of the times in which he lived. It is essential to understand his life. Well, after the Reformation took place in England, a struggle arose between those who were satisfied with the way the Church of England conducted itself and the way the things that it believed. There was a struggle within it. There were those who said, we must take it further and we must We must make the Bible to be the sole authority in every part, that we shouldn't have any man-made traditions, and we should purge it and clean it of anything that is of Roman Catholic influence and elements in the way the worship of God is conducted, in the preaching, in the way the church runs itself, and the practice of the church. But that produced a lot of tension there. There are those who desired a complete reformation. And they were known as the Puritans. They wanted to purify the Church of England. And they, at some point, for a brief moment, in the history of England, they came to gain civil power in England after the royalist forces of Charles I were defeated by the parliamentary forces under Oliver Cromwell. This area of Gloucestershire was very much roundheads. They were the Cromwellians, and they supported Cromwell, and they supported the parliament, especially Gloucester. Gloucester was besieged by the loyalist forces at one point during that time, and Cromwell even made various churches in Gloucester. If you look at the history of it, he made them into prison houses. He made them into jails for the when they captured some of the loyalist soldiers. They kept them in this church. One famous church, St. Mary's Church, was used for that purpose. But for a brief moment, the Puritans, or those with Puritan beliefs, became much more in control of things. But ultimately, that movement of Puritanism was in terms of nationally, it was defeated. And when others came into power, when Charles II was restored into power, who was a friend to the Roman Catholics, he did all that he could to restore that which was lost under Cromwell. And many Christians came under persecution, and John Bunyan was one of them. Many of the Puritans had to leave their homes and their churches and their parishes. Many of them were imprisoned because of holding to biblical principles and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of them, what is called the non-conformist churches, came about, but they had to meet in hiding, and many of them suffered great persecution. And into this political and this ecclesiastical or church situation, John Bunyan was born and was raised and did his work. Let's think about some aspects of John Bunyan's life. And what I've tried to do, instead of fitting in everything in his life, is to just pick certain elements and then apply it. See what we can learn from it, biblical principles from it. Well, John Bunyan was born in 1628 in the village of Elstow, near the town of Bedford, in Bedfordshire. His father was a tinker. That means he was a mender of kettles and pots and so on. And he began his life in a poor situation, but yet he was educated. His father sent him after his early days. He was sent to be taught in Bedford Grammar School later on. But the school in that day, his father thought the school was so morally bad, and had such a bad influence upon his son, that his father said, I'll take you out. So he took him out of the grammar school, and so that ended the academic training of John Bunyan. And so whatever he learned, it was done outside of that grammar school. And so it was done by himself at home and so on. He worked hard after leaving school, but he also sadly played hard. By playing means he got into lots of trouble. And he outlines that in various books, and it comes out in his writings. He became known in his self-indulgent and wasteful, reckless life. That's not something you want to be known for. And so, children, what are you known for? Are you known for being reckless? Are you known for always playing the fool and always getting into trouble? Especially his wild and blasphemous language made him a byword. He used blasphemy. He kept using the name of God in vain, very much that people didn't want to be near him. You can't imagine it, can you? The local folk, he'd become the byword of his village. Here is Bunyan. Don't be like Bunyan, people would say. In 1644, John Bunyan's mother died. And then soon after that, 2 months later, his sister died as well. And that brought much sadness to his heart. Do you imagine that? Do you know someone who has died in your family? It might be a friend, it might be a family member. Well, his mother died and his sister died soon after that. He felt very alone and he felt very angry. You see, he was very ungodly and he became very angry. Angry against people and angry against God. And he turned his anger against the Lord. He is frustrated. Why has God allowed this to happen? And so he felt that God, if he was there at all, was simply causing pain and suffering. That's all God did to him in his life. That's what he thought. But he never thought about why do people die? Why do people die? Do you know why people die? Well, the Bible says that death is a result of sin. And sin entered the world through Adam and Eve's rebellion against God. That's something, if John Bunyan had been reading his Bible, would have come to realize. If he had gone to a church that preached about these things, he would have realized, why do people die? Why do people do bad things? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. Which means that the natural result and punishment for rebellion in this world is death. And that's just physical death. There's a spiritual death. And there's an eternal punishment that people face too. And yet the Bible, if John Bunyan had been reading his Bible, he would then realize that there is not just a message of death in the Bible as a result of our sins, but there is a message of hope in the Bible as well. Yes, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but it goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, if you become angry about these things, you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. God offers to us eternal salvation and life through the Lord Jesus Christ if we put our trust in Him. But John Bunyan was not hearing that. He wasn't thinking about these things. He just was angry against God. And then what happened? Weary of this situation, the sadness that he felt, the loneliness that he felt, and also the discipline in the house, because his father was making him to do things. He didn't want that. He wanted the easy life. He just wanted to go out and play. And he wasn't a little boy by then. He was in his late teens and early 20s. He still didn't want to do much work. And his father was saying, look, you need to get a job. You need to do some help around the house. And you need to come with me and do this work. And he did for a while, but he didn't like that. But he was all bitter about things. So he said, I've had enough of this. I'll join the army. See, the civil war was taking place. And so he said, I'll leave the house and I'll join the parliamentary army. At least he joined the right army. But then he saw no action. And one time, he nearly died. And this affected him very much. This was one of the first things that the Lord spoke to him through this event. Because there was one time that he was to be a watchman, a sentinel, to watch out. And so what happened, he was feeling quite sleepy, and one of his friends said, I'll take your place tonight, you can take my place tomorrow. And that friend that night died. He was shot in the head with a bullet, and he died. And that left an impression on him. That could have been me that night. And that arrested him for a little time, but then he forgot all about it. There are times in our life as well that we face a great danger or great problem, and you might have an exam coming up, and you say, Lord, if you help me through this exam, then I will follow you. I will believe in you. How many times did I pray that prayer when I was a young boy? And just get me through this exam. Tomorrow some people will be getting some exam results. If I get a good result, then I will do whatever you want me to do. Many people face these things, and certain impressions are left for a little while, but then we forget all about it later, and that's exactly what he did. He saw no action, and soon he returned home as a wild and a wicked son as ever. He was fighting a battle. And what we find in many of his writings is this theme of the battle that rages. And if you read his books, the Holy War and so on, the language that he uses is as if someone who has been in the battle. But he takes a lot of the pictures from the civil war that was taking place. And people saw that, and they could see the spiritual war as well, that John Bunyan later on spoke about, this great spiritual war that we are in. And there is this, not just this outward battle that we face every day, but the spiritual battle that we face every day, that there is a great enemy against us. My friends, did you know that there is a great enemy against you, who wants to destroy you, who wants to shoot you down, who wants to put you to death if he can? And the Bible calls of him our great enemy, the devil, who seeks to destroy us. And John Bunyan talks about the temptations in his books, the temptations that come, and he puts them into picture language. Mr. Worldly Wise Man, and so many other characters that he brings out in his books, that tell us again and again that there are all these enemies, but then if we are a child of God, if we are a true Christian, we are never alone. God is with us. And that he then has given for us an armor that we have been reading about. It's this armor of God that we are called to put on as a soldier. A Christian is like a soldier of Jesus Christ, and to be ready for battle, we need to every day put on this armor. Because we read, didn't we, in Ephesians 6 and verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so the apostle says, so take this armor of God on you. You are in a battle. And John Bunyan uses that kind of language again and again in his books. There is an enemy who is seeking to destroy us, Satan, demons. And so he says, put on the whole armor of God. And in other places he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And who is Jesus Christ? The only Savior. And by putting him on, meaning trust in him, believe on him, day by day. He is not your enemy, he is your friend. Well, this is something that John Bunyan came to realize later in his life. After resuming his work to some degree, even spending some time, he became a bell ringer. He would go around parish churches and had been ringing the bells. But then he carried on with his father's tinkering jobs, and he married a very humble and poor young lady, but she was a godly lady, it seems. She managed to curb some of his wild nature, and She tried to influence him to start reading some books, some helpful books, and to get some education, just to educate yourself as well. And so he began doing that. And while he was being under the godly influences of his wife, they were attending a local church under a local minister called Mr. Gifford, John Gifford, who himself was a character of his own. This was the year 1653. Mr. Gifford had come from a very interesting background. He had been a royalist officer. He had escaped prison. He was a gifted physician. He was a doctor in Bedfordshire. But he was a wicked man, and God saved him and changed him and transformed him, and then made him to be a preacher of the gospel. And there were people who were coming, hearing the word of God, and a little congregation was formed in Bedford. And John Bunyan began hearing Mr. Gifford, John Gifford. And he was a great influence upon him. He brought him under his wing, as it were, and he began teaching him and mentoring him. And afterwards, John Bunyan, when he was converted, when he became a true Christian, when Mr. Gifford died, he took on the pastorate there, and the church became a Baptist church. John Bunyan had all kinds of gifts, but he had used it in his early life in a bad way. He could remember a lot of things. And so what he did, he remembered all the bad things that people did. That's one thing he did before. He was a very fierce man. He could be quite ruthless. He was quite impatient. He had an energetic mind. And before he was converted, he used it in all the bad things that he could. But then when he was converted, God turned all of those bad ways of him and used those gifts of his in the right way. He used it for God's glory. And so you might be impatient now, but then when God saves a person, they become impatient against sin. They don't want sin in their life. When they have a good memory of remembering all the bad things that people do, they begin to remember the Word of God and the goodness of God and the blessings of God. When they are fierce and they are strong against things, then they become strong for God, strong for the things of God. But that's only when God's grace and salvation reaches you. And that's what happened to John Bunyan. He realized at one point in his life that he was the chief of sinners. He realized that he had sinned against God. And oftentimes he thought he had sinned so much that God will never save him. He always got into trouble as a teenager. He often did quite well by dodging the blame and punishment. But people knew that he was a troublemaker. He was a rebel. And as time went on, God began to show him his sin. He began to desire God, and he realized that, I can't live my life like this. And he began to have a desire for the Word of God, the Bible. Even though John Bunyan, in his late 18s and early 20s, he knew what was right and good. He felt like the temptation to sin was greater, and he found himself in trouble again and again. It was almost as if his heart desired the things of God, but his weak flesh pulled him back into sin every time. And if you have known something of his life, you realize that through all of these things, all of these mixture of thoughts and discouragements, he began, and he was going to church at the time, he began listening. He was eavesdropping on two ladies talking about Christian things. And they were just talking naturally about Christian things. And they were speaking about the Lord and how the Lord has been so kind to them and blessed them and so on. And as he listened to them, he realized, this is what I need. This is the kind of religion I need. This is the belief that I need. I want to know the Lord in the same way. And that set him on a path of listening more intently to the Bible being preached and reading his Bible more prayerfully and realized that all he has is the Lord. That he can't make himself right in the sight of God. And he talks about this. He had a lot of his struggles over these issues. How can he get his sin dealt with? Have you ever felt like that? Do you ever feel like deep down you want to do what is right, but you keep doing bad things, you keep getting into trouble, you keep giving into temptation? The Apostle Paul talked about this. The Apostle Paul spoke about this struggle that he faced. He wants to do what is good and then he does what is bad, and so on. But if you feel like that, that's a good thing. That's a good thing that there's this tension in you. But seek the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. And then it is through Him that you will find forgiveness of sins. Realizing that He died on the cross to take away our sins. Well, this is something that John Bunyan came to realize. And let me tell you something about some of his struggles. One of the things that later on he remembered, and it again had an influence in his life, is the way he lived his life as an ungodly person. He struggled with various temptations. One of the biggest temptations that he struggled with was the keeping of the Lord's day, keeping of the fourth commandment. And those of you who've come to this church and to Sunday school and so on, we keep teaching the Ten Commandments. The fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And like most people, John Bunyan worked 6 days of the week. He was a tinker, making pots and pans and fixing them. And when Sunday came around, he felt like that was his day, not the Lord's. That was his day. He wanted to have fun. He wanted to play. He didn't want to pray. He didn't want to go to church. He didn't want to worship and learn his catechism and learn about the Word of God. Well, friends, do you feel like that at times? Maybe that this is the way you have been as well. You've struggled about keeping the Lord's day, and that in itself has shown you how much you need the Lord. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week, Sunday morning, 2,000 years ago. And since then, Christians have been remembering Him, coming together. And it's called the Lord's Day. It's not called my day or your day. It's called the Lord's Day. All of it is the Lord's. And so we rest on that day from our usual task. We don't go out playing. We don't do the usual things that we could do on other days. Cycling or go to the park or go to do some things that we could do on other times, but we keep it for the Lord. We go to church with people. We go to Sunday school. We go to various things, read the Bible, and we sing God's praises. We talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. We think about Him. But maybe there are some of you who struggle with that too. Well, John Bunyan, this thing affected him. Somebody came out one time when he was playing. I have been on the place where he used to play. And there was a big market in that part. I remember there's a big field where they would have a market. And he used that in his Pilgrim's Progress book called the Vanity Fair. And that was the place where, still it is called Vanity Fair in Bedfordshire. And that was the place where he used to go and play on Sundays. And every time he passed it afterwards, it would prick him to the heart. That's the place I used to go and forsake God and forget God and do my own things. But sometimes these things God uses to convict us of our sin and our need of Him. Remember, the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, Sundays, are given as a gift of God. to enjoy God and to worship Him and to meditate on the fact that God has given us the gift of His Son. And it is, so take advantage of that. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ who says to us, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's the same Jesus Christ who says to us, "One day a week, I give you rest." Well, John Bunyan, after his conversion, he began to study the Word of God, and as he was reading it, he couldn't stop sharing it with other people. He wanted to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that time, people couldn't just go and preach the Word of God, as we do today. They couldn't just go on the street and preach, because there was a law against it. Unless you were an ordained Anglican minister, you couldn't do such a thing. You could be imprisoned. And so he was risking that. But he felt people should know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was preaching and preaching, but then he was being imprisoned, arrested, beaten, threatened. And there were a number of times that he was imprisoned. And at that point in his life, even though he was a great preacher of God's Word, his wife died, leaving him 4 children. One of them was a blind daughter. And that little daughter, she was very thoughtful. When John Bunyan was in prison, she visited him every day. Think about that. He then got married again. And his second wife was a faithful woman who looked after those children and visited him in prison many, many times. I must pass on many things that I wanted to say because of the time. But the second time John Bunyan was imprisoned, he was there for about 12 and a half years. He spent that time in prison. Imagine that. Somebody spending that length of time in prison all because they are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you see, the things we are enjoying today, the freedoms we enjoy today, we should be very thankful for that. But while he was in prison, like the Apostle Paul, he felt, "I can't just sit here. I can't just think badly of myself. God has placed me here for something. There's a reason behind this." And so he spent his time writing. So he couldn't preach the Word of God anymore outside, but he could preach it through the written Word. And so he was writing sermons, writing books, and so on. And so his time in prison was blessed greatly. And he wrote many, many books, about 50 books or so. And his classic book, of course, is Pilgrim's Progress. And this book, The Pilgrim's Progress, since it was first published in 1678, many years ago now, since then, it has never gone out of print. It's always been in print. It's one of the only English books that has been translated to most languages in the world. All of the European languages, they have a Pilgrim's Progress, and many of the other languages have them, have this book. It's the story of a man named Christian, who used to be called Graceless. And then his name was changed to Christian, and it's about his journey through perilous situations. But in the end, he reaches the celestial city, which symbolizes heaven. And among the many significant truths found in the book, the one that stands out is this, that God preserves His people until the very end. He keeps His people all the way through. And so, when you think about it, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, there are times that you might be challenged and you might think to yourself, "Well, how can I continue on like this? What will happen to me? Will I really get to heaven?" And so on. Well, if you only trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have that comfort that the Lord will keep you all the way through your life. Whatever happens, He will keep you and preserve you to the end. He says that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will never cast out. I shall never cast out. So He will keep us. So take comfort in that. Well, then after those years, the 12 and a half years that he was in prison, Charles II, he relented a bit. He calmed down a bit. He did not persecute Christians as he had done before. And Bunyan was released. And he began to preach more publicly. You can at some point talk to Mr. Dawson, Tom Dawson, and he would be able to tell you about the place where he's from, and that's exactly where John Bunyan was from. And there's a tree near to where Mr. Dawson's parents' chapel is. It's called Bunyan's Tree. That's where he used to go and preach many, many times. And so it is still with us today. And his preaching was so amazing because he preached in a way that people could understand. You see, in his day, there were ministers who would go into pulpits and speak in such great words and flowery language that people couldn't understand what he was talking about. But he preached in a way that people could understand what the gospel was about. There was a great theologian and preacher, a Puritan preacher by the name of Dr. John Owen, who Oliver Cromwell had asked him to preach many times before the Parliament. And once it was that the King Charles II, he mocked him and said, "Why do you go and hear this tinker of Bedford many times? Why do you keep going and hearing him?" Because Charles II, he didn't like the fact that so many people were going to this non-Anglican preacher. And Owen responded, and he is a man with all kinds of doctorates, and he was a learned theologian. And he said this, "I would give all my learning to be able to preach as well as the tinker." Well, his ministry was not very long. During a time when he was very ill, John Bunyan left on a long trip. And that is an interesting thing to also think about. He went on this trip and he never returned. And he died in 1688. His wife then outlived him by just 4 years. But even at the end of his life, John Bunyan was still working. He was still seeking to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He was still wanting others to know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So one wintry night, he traveled to Reading in order to reconcile a broken relationship between a father and a son. And after talking to the father, he heads back to Bedford, and he stopped in London on his way back. But then he was caught in heavy rain, which caused him high fever. And from this fever, he would never recover. Well, friends, that's how he died. He died after having reconciled a father and a son. After doing the very thing that the Lord Jesus Christ said, that we are to be peacemakers. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ came, to bring peace between us and God. You might live your life, and what's your aim in your life, you might think? What do you think will make you happy? What's your dream? Many dream of getting some sort of a good job that will pay a lot for little work, and that you might be able to retire early. You might go and do this and that and the other to buy a big house or a big yacht. But what a sad life that is. What kind of an aim that is? Very limited aim. John Bunyan with little that he had, yet he sought until the end of his life to bring this message of salvation, which is the most wonderful news in all the world. It's the same message that the Apostle Paul preached. It's the same message that the Lord Jesus Christ himself preached. And all of these people, they gave their lives for the sake of others, for the glory of God, even unto the very end. So what does John Bunyan's life tell you? It tells you this: forsake this world, forsake sin for Jesus Christ. Don't waste your life. Make each moment count. The dreams that people have of this world have left many, many people still dreaming, empty. Make your life goal not to be simply just to try to be happy, just to try to entertain yourself, but to glorify and enjoy God forever. Then you would say with the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. The question for all of us is that, do we know Jesus Christ, or are we still like John Bunyan, with all kinds of wicked thoughts in our minds, or all kinds of wrestling in our life, and giving in to temptations and feeling ourselves as a trapped mouse? Or have we come to realize that our sins are forgiven, that Jesus Christ died for us? So you hear Christians talk and you think, I wish I was like one of them. Well, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ says, come to him and he will give you rest. And so it is that we will arrive safely to that celestial city. When he wrote his book, John Bunyan, that Pilgrim's Progress book that he wrote a defense of it. Why he wrote this book, at the beginning of it, he wrote a little poem. He was a great poet, and we will sing one of his hymns, which comes out of Pilgrim's Progress shortly. But he talks about why he wrote this book. And he says this: this book, it chalketh out before thine eyes the man that seeks the everlasting prize. It shows you whence he comes, whither he goes, what he leaves undone, also what he does. It also shows you how he runs and runs till he unto the gate of glory comes. It shows too who set out for life amain, as if the lasting crown they would obtain. Here also you may see the reason why they lose their labor and like fools do die. This book will make a traveler of thee, if by its counsel thou wilt ruled be. It will direct thee to the Holy Land, if thou wilt its directions understand. Yea, it will make the slothful active be, the blind also delightful things to see, and so on. So that's the purpose of this book: to make you a traveler, to make you a pilgrim, to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I hope this little sketch of John Bunyan's life has helped you a little and encouraged you, if you have not read this book and his other books, to get copies of it. You can even listen to it. You can freely listen to it on your gadgets when you're on your way to school or work or elsewhere, and get to know something of this wonderful man's writings. Well, may the Lord bless these things to each one of us. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the way Thou dost save even people who have lived in wickedness. We give Thee thanks for the way Thou didst save Thy servant John Bunyan all those years ago, and how his work remains, how it is that we can still read and benefit from the way Thou didst lead him. Bless, Lord, each one of us. May we all be pilgrims towards that celestial home above. knowing thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be one of thy soldiers, to fight the good fight of faith. So bless these young souls here. Make them all true Christians, a godly man, a godly woman, to run the race. Because this world is full of temptation. This world whispers in our ears all kinds of false things. We pray, therefore, that they will put their fingers in their ears and run towards Thee. Lord, bless, we pray, each one now, and help us for Christ's sake. Amen.